Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama.
Thank you.
गौर प्रेमानंदे नमः ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, yesterday we discussed up to the Pandavas ending their 12 years exile in the forest. 12 years of forest life. And what was the condition after 12 years?
1 year
to remain incognito. Incognito means no one would be able to recognize you. And if any one of them was recognized, then the term will repeat. Another 12 years of exile and 1 year incognito. Actually, they felt that Pandavas are so famous and they are so well known and their activities are so unusual that it will be impossible for them to hide. But they received the boon from Jamaraj. You remember that? That's the last thing I discussed yesterday. Jamaraj, what boon they gave? Yudhishthir Maharaj asked the benediction so that for this 1 year nobody could recognize them. And Jamaraj consented. He said, fine. And what was his blessing? Right, even if you live in the middle of a city surrounded by hundreds of thousands of people, still they won't be able to recognize. Although you, even though you don't hide your identity, still they won't be able to recognize. But still he asked them to go to the kingdom of Panchal, which was the kingdom of King Virat. And so the Pandavas decided, then they sat together and they considered like what would be their names, what kind of identity they will assume in the palace of Virat, in the kingdom of Virat. Yudhishthir Maharaj decided to become an expert dice player. His name would be Konkar, a Brahmin. Bhima would assume the role of a cook. His name would be Ballav. Arjun, remember Arjun's curse by Urvashi? That for 1 year he will become an eunuch. So Arjun, as you decided to take this curse now, Indra told him that this curse will become a blessing. Because 1 year when you will be hiding your identity, then you will be assuming this curse and you will become an eunuch. So Arjun became an eunuch, and who would be known as Brihannala, and he would be the dance teacher of the daughter of Virat. And Nakul would become an expert horse trainer. and housekeeper. He would be in charge, he would assume the charge of Virat's stable, horses. And his name would be Granthik. And Sahadev decided to become the in charge of Virat's Goshala. Virat had 100,000 cows. That was a big wealth. And Granthi, his name was Tantrapal. And Draupadi would assume the role of a hairdresser and beautician for the queen, Sudeshna, queen of Virat. Her name was Sudeshna. So this way, six of them had decided to assume different roles, and they went to Virat, decided to go one by one to Virat's palace. And in the meantime, they decided to keep their weapons. Okay, they sent all the brahmanas. They told Dhauma to take all the brahmanas to the kingdom of Panchal. That is the kingdom of King Drupad, who was Draupadi's father. And so they decided to go to all the brahmanas. Now they are going on exile, so the brahmanas can't accompany them. So many brahmanas, you remember, they were following them. And they had this pot given by Suryadev, and that could feed unlimited number of guests. And they decided to send their chariots also to Matsya Kingdom, Panchal Kingdom. They send their chariots to actually Dwarka, Krishna's custody. And then they decided to tie their weapons, hide their weapon on top of a very big tree next to a crematorium. Generally, people don't go to the crematorium so much. Only when people die, to cremate the bodies, they go to crematorium. And at that time, they don't have any other consideration besides cremate the body. So that's why they selected this particular place, this crematorium, and selected a tree, and they tied up all their weapons on top of a tree. They put them together and put them on top of a tree. And they also found a dead body there, and they tied up the dead body also on the tree, so that the stench from the dead body will keep everyone away from it. So, this way, they actually gave their weapons, took care of their brahmana guests, and they went to King Virat's palace. Yudhishthira Maharaj was the first to go. And he introduced himself as Konka, and he told him that he used to be a close friend of Yudhishthira Maharaj, and he used to be his companion in playing dice. And his appearance, his stature was so attractive that Virat became very impressed with him, and he said, "Yes, you stay at my place. We'll play dice together." Then Bhima came, introduced himself as Ballav, and he also not only a cook, he introduced himself that he is a wrestler also, and he will entertain the king by wrestling with other wrestlers. And then Arjun came as an eunuch and he said that he is expert in teaching dance and music. So Virat engaged him as the dance teacher for his daughter, dance and music teacher. And he was indeed an expert dance and musician and dancer, because he learned dancing and music from Chitrasen. The Gandharvas are expert in music and dancing, art of dancing and music. And Chitrasen is the king of Gandharvas, so we can well imagine how expert he must have been. Then Nakul came, identified himself as Granthik, stable in charge, an expert in horse training and taking care of the horses. He was indeed a very expert keeper of horses, and Sahadev went as the in charge of the Goshala. And finally Draupadi came, and Sudeshna saw this beautiful woman from her balcony. But she was disheveled and her clothes were worn out. And so she asked who she was, and she told him that she was an expert hairdresser, and she used to dress and take care of Draupadi. Draupadi himself identified as the maidservant of Draupadi. So this way, one by one, they got their place in King Virat's palace. Then time went by, 4 months went by. Then there was a big festival in celebration of Lord Brahma. And so in that, the wrestlers came from different parts of the world. And there was one wrestler who was completely undefeatable. His name was Jimuta. So he defeated one after another wrestler, and this wrestling was terrible actually. The winner would kill the opponent. And so Jimuta finally, after defeating quite a few wrestlers, he challenged, "Is there anyone who wants to face me?" So for Virat it became a matter of prestige. Someone is challenging him in his kingdom. And there is no one, and no wrestler actually stood up to fight against him. So Virat just looked at Ballav and so Ballav got the message, so he just walked up to the arena. Who is Ballav? Bhima. So he went and confronted. A fierce battle started, a wrestling bout started. Both were very, very powerful. And after a long fight, when Jimuta now started to lose his strength. Now remember Bhima's tactic? When the winner would start to lose his strength, then Bhima would pick him up and start to swing him overhead 100 times. And being spun around like that, it's not in slow motion, like really spinning real fast overhead. Have you ever seen, if you start rolling, if you start to spin, what happens? You become dizzy. So being spun around like that, this person used to lose his consciousness. So at that time, Bhima would just smash him on the ground and kill him. So he, and everyone was excited. And Virat was especially, he was very proud. Yes, my man won. And then Bhima challenged other wrestlers also. No one was a match for Bhima. And when there was no wrestler to fight with, Bhima started to fight with lions and elephants. You are so powerful that with bare hands you would kill the lions, kill the wild elephant. These elephants are not tame elephants, they are actually war elephants. They are huge and they are ferocious. So this was one exciting incident that took place at Virat's kingdom. Then in this way 10 months went by, and one day, Virat's commander-in-chief, he was actually the brother-in-law of Virat. His name was, how many of you know his name? I'm already hearing some whispers. Kicha. This was another very interesting episode. Kichak came to his sister's palace, king's palace, and just happened to see Sailendra, Draupadi. And just by seeing her, he became attracted and wanted her. So he asked his sister, who this one? And he said that his friend Indri gave her introduction. And Virat Kichak said that he wanted her to become his lover. So he approached, and Draupadi, Shailendri said, look, I'm already married, so it's very sinful to desire somebody else's wife. So please give up your idea. So he said that, look, in this kingdom I'm the most powerful person. Even the king is under my control. So you better surrender to me. Then he'll get everything. I'll give you everything. Just surrender to me. Draupadi was completely adamant. Finally she said, be careful, because I'm married to 5 Gandharvas. They always protect me. So if you try to force me, then they'll come and kill you. Anyway, so Virat, Kichak told his sister Sudeshna to help get this woman. Sudeshna said, okay, I will try. And she was taking pity upon her brother also. So one day Sudeshna told Draupadi to fetch some wine from her brother's palace. So Shailendri told that, look, the way he is behaving, it's not safe for me to go to his palace. So Then she said, no, it's all right. He won't do anything. You just go and get this wine for me. And you tell he won't dare to do anything. Then Draupadi was forced to go because she refused. And when she went, he started to make advances to her, Kichak. So he said, she said, I came to take the wine for your sister, so you just give it to me. He said, well, the wine somebody else will take, don't worry, you stay here. Then finally, when he tried to force her, actually we can see these Kshatriya women were so strong, so powerful, that Draupadi pushed him. Like, can you imagine, he's an army general. These people fight with lions and elephants. And she was so powerful that when she pushed, he just fell on the ground. And she ran. She ran into the king's court. And at that time, Yudhishthir and Bhim also were there. And Kichak also ran after her. Came there and the court, right in front of the king and Yudhishthir and Bhim, he caught hold of her by her hair. And as a result of that, she fell on the ground. And Kichak kicked her. Bhima was, but Yudhishthira Maharaj controlled. With signs, he told him, don't lose your temper now. Because if you lose your temper, what will happen? Everybody will recognize us. And then as a result of that, we have to repeat our term of 12 years of forest. And Draupadi kept on appealing, saying that what kind of king it is that in front of the king, and in this person is insulting me in this way. An innocent woman is being insulted in this way. And look at his ministers, look at his people in his court. What happened to all of them? They don't have any sense of justice. They don't have any sense of morality. That they don't protest. So at that time, he told that, look, I do not know what actually happened. Without properly knowing what the background is, I cannot make my judgment. I cannot give my decision. So then Draupadi elaborately narrated what actually happened. And then all the ministers started to praise Draupadi and started to criticize Kichak. But Kichak was so powerful, he was a general, and Virat was depending upon Kichak's strength and Kichak's martial expertise. So Drupal couldn't, I'm sorry, Virat could not take much of an action there. So being insulted in this way, anyway, they told her to go back to her place. But she was burning with anger that this person has insulted her. So then one night, she went to Bhima and told him that you must take revenge. So they hatched a plan. Bhima himself also was very, very upset with this already. So they hatched a plan that Draupadi would give him the indication that she is now surrendering to him. And she would be there one night, she would be there in the newly built dance hall. And at night nobody would be there in the dance hall, so she would be waiting for him there. But instead of she, instead of her, whom he'll find? He'll find Bhima. So this person, Kichak, became very excited that finally this beautiful woman is going to surrender to him. So on the designated night, he went to that place, that newly built dance hall. Nobody was there. And he saw that somebody was lying on a bed. So he approached the bed, approached that person, but who emerged out of the bed? His death personified. He also was a powerful person, so both of them fought for a long time. And finally he succumbed to Bhima's onslaught. And Bhima was so angry that even after killing him, he just kept on hitting him. And he literally made a mincemeat out of him. Not only his flesh, not only mincemeat, he minced his bones as well. And as a result of that, Kichak's body became a lump of flesh. Just a lump. Nobody could, didn't have a head, didn't have any hand, didn't have any leg. So Bhima gave vent to his anger in such a way. And then Draupadi, after that Bhima left. And Draupadi went and woke up the guards of the dance hall and announced what happened to Kicha. She told that he tried to make an approach on her, and her Gandharva husband came and killed him. So, and the king came and everybody saw Kichak, that his body is like just a lump just lying there, no hand, no feet, no head. So everything has been just pounded into one lump. So Kichak's they decided now they have to bury cremate Kichak. But Kichak had 105 brothers and very close associates. 105 close relatives and associates. So they became so upset that this woman had been the cause of his death. They decided to burn her also along with Kichak. Their point was Kichak left his body desiring this woman, so he was this unsatisfied in his last thought. So let this woman also go along with him. So they tied up Draupadi and was also carrying to the crematorium. So she cried out about her dangerous situation. So Bhima heard that cry. And they had, five of them had five names with which they were addressed. That only symbolic names. And so when they heard this, they're being addressed with these names, Bhima could immediately understand what was happening. So while they were carrying the dead body to the crematorium, Bhima took another road and came on the middle of the way. He took a tree, huge tree. He uprooted the tree and broke the branches and the leaves and he was waiting there. And along with the dead body and Draupadi, as they came there, Bhima confronted them. And he alone killed all these 105 associates of Kichak. And the others also ran away from him. So everyone now afraid that this must be the Gandharva who protects Draupadi, caused the death of these 105 associates of Kichak. So instead of Draupadi going with Kichak, these 105 associates, Kichak went with Kichak. So in this way, now year has almost come to an end. Duryodhan sent his spies all over the world to find out where the Pandavas were, to identify Pandavas. But all the spies came back. Duryodhan was extremely upset that they haven't been able to find them. He started to abuse them, curse them, chastise them. And at that time, Bhishma made one point, very salient point. Bhishma said, the way to recognize where the Pandavas are, or Pandavas will be, to find the place where there is real prosperity. Because wherever the Pandavas are, there is going to be. So that will be the way to find the So he gave that indication, but there was Pandavas were that would have been the way. Not directly see them or recognize them. But through this indication only one could figure out where they actually are. The place where there is prosperity, unusual prosperity. So that is what actually happens when a pious man, where the pious people live. Where the pious people live, there is unusual prosperity. The real prosperity comes from piety. Sometimes Prabhupada used to praise America those days. And the Americans are very pious because America actually reached the height of their prosperity at that time, the mid-60s, early 70s. Although Prabhupada praised them, but what was the real prosperity of America? Because Prabhupada went there. But Prabhupada actually gave them the credit that the sign of piety. Do you know what is the result of piety? The result of piety appears in, the result of pious activities become manifest in four ways. One is opulence, knowledge, beauty, and birth in high class family. Due to piety, one is born in a high-class family, one gets a beautiful body, one gets wisdom, and one gets opulence. Janma, Vaisharja, Shruta, Shribhi. So, in order to achieve these things, what will an intelligent person do? An intelligent person will simply act in a pious way. Therefore, in Vedic culture, we find that people act in a very pious way. Generally, people would not act in an impious way. Only those who are in total ignorance or those who are very wicked, they act in an impious way. Otherwise, in the Vedic culture, people were trained to act in a pious way. Just as wealth, what is real wealth? Real wealth is actually piety, pious acting, pious deeds. It's subtle wealth. Money and gold and all these, they're gross wealth. But the subtle wealth is piety. And what is the most pious of all pious activities? What is the most pious activity? Huh? Yes, to become a devotee of Krishna, serve Krishna is the most pious activity. As Kevin pointed out, chanting Hare Krishna. How does one become a devotee in this age of Kali? By chanting Hare Krishna. So you chant Hare Krishna and you will get unusual piety. So have implicit faith in the holy name and chant. And you will see the result yourself. All your desires will be fulfilled and unusual good fortune will be bestowed upon you. So that was Bhishma's point to them. But Pandava, but in the meantime the news came that Kichak is dead. So Duryodhana's ally and friend, the king of the Trigartas, his name was Susharma, he decided to attack Virat's kingdom. Because of Kichak, they could not defeat Virat. But now that Kichak is dead, they thought this is an opportunity to attack their king. And they planned that from one side, Susharma with his Trigartha army attack Virat, and from another side, the next day, the Kauravas, Duryodhana and his army will attack and take away the cows, because as I mentioned, Virat had an inconceivable wealth of cows. So they decided to steal the cows. So then they acted on that according to that plan. Trigartas attacked Virat. Now Virat's kingdom now without a general. So he was in great difficulty. So he made his brother Shatani into the commander. And the two brothers, he made them into general, Kata Shatani and Makiraksha. But at that time, being completely desperate, he decided to also include Kanka, Ballav, Granthik, and Tantrapala. He told that his brother that give them also a chariot, give them also four chariots and let them also fight. Because it seems that they are not Brahmanas, they are Kshatriyas. From their act it seems that they are Kshatriyas. So he also, Shatanik and Makiraksha, requested Kanka, Ballav, Granthik and Tantrapal also to fight and come with them in the battle. They were happy. Kshatriyas love to fight. they fought the terrible battle took place, and the fight was so terrible that even after the sunset they kept on fighting. Even at night they kept on fighting. And eventually they Susharma killed Virat's horses. So then Virat jumped out of his chariot and he was running. So then Susharma captured him, pulled him in his chariot. And all the soldiers now became so upset, they became so disheartened that they stopped to fight. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, when he heard that the king has been taken captive, so he told Bhima and Arjuna, Bhima, to go and rescue the king. And told Nakul and Sahadev to guard two sides of his chariot. So in this way they went. So naturally a terrible battle took place between the Susharma king, as Trigartha king Susharma, and Bhima. And oh yeah, Bhima was about to take a tree. That was Bhima's favorite weapon. So Yudhishthira Maharaj told him not to fight like that. If you fight like that, then they will recognize you with Bhima. So fight with just regular way. And in that regular fight also, Bhima defeated that king, rescued King Virat, and took Susharma as a captive. And he just kept on beating him. Like he, when he got him, he just kept beating him, beating him. But Yudhishthira, and then finally he took him to Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira Maharaj told him, don't kill him, let him go. And so he was released. Virat was naturally very much indebted to Bhima Bala. And in the meantime, the next day, Kauravas came with their army and stole the cows. Now the entire army is now fighting the battle in the south, and now this had to confront the attack from the north. There was no one in the kingdom. The entire army has gone to fight. The only person that was left in the palace was Uttar, the son of Virat. And Uttar kept on, when the news came to him that the cows have been stolen by the Kauravas, and so he just kept on lamenting, I don't have someone to drive the chariot. If there was somebody who could drive my chariot, then I could have taught them a big lesson. I would have finished up all this Kauravas. So this is the natural spirit of a Kshatriya actually. Kshatriyas are not afraid. But he was just a boy. But he was bragging like that. And at that time, Brihadnala told Draupadi to tell them that he used to be, he knows how to drive a chariot. And he drove the chariot for Arjuna. So he can drive the chariot. So he said, So Draupadi went and announced that Brihadnala, the dance teacher, is also a chariot driver. So he took the chariot. So Uttar said, fine, let us go. At first he was a little reluctant that a yuna could be driving his chariot. But then finally he agreed. But when they came to the enemy line, when they saw the enemy summoned him. Uttar became so afraid, it was like an ocean, an unending ocean of soldiers. Now alone, how is he going to confront them? So he just ran, jumped out of the chariot. Arjun ran after him and caught him. He said, come, you drive the chariot, I'll fight. Then he said, how can you fight with these people? You're just a eunuch. He said, don't worry about that. I will fight, you drive the chariot. And he told him, then finally he told him that he was Arjun. In the meantime, what happened is, the 1 year has elapsed. So that's why Arjun could reveal his identity. He said, I'm Arjun, don't worry. Otherwise, he won't be able to fight, he'll be worried, he'll be afraid. But therefore Arjun. So at first he couldn't believe that this is Arjun. Because Arjun is the most celebrated personality at that time. That Arjun in my palace, living in my palace as a eunuch, as dancing with, teaching how the women how to dance. That's not the business of Arjun. And so he asked, what are the 10 names? Tell me, Arjun has 10 names. What are those names? So then, one name is Partha. And? Dhananjay. Very good. Gurakesh. Falgun. Yeah. Then? Partha has been. Sanjay told Partha. Sambhasachi. Very good. Very good. So these are. Now, and one name is Jishnu. Another name that he has is Kiriti. Another name is Bibhatsu. Another name is Svetabahan. Another name is, so two are left. Another name is Vijay. And the other one is Krishna. Arjuna also has a name, Krishna. So he, Arjuna, then he became convinced that this is Arjuna. So he asked, Arjuna told him, look, don't be afraid. You just stay far on the chariot. Just you drive the chariot, I will fight. And then Arjuna took him to that Shalmali tree where the weapons were. And he got him to climb up the tree and get the weapons. And that way, those weapons, Arjuna showed him, and he was awestruck to see these amazing weapons, celestial weapons. He saw Arjuna's Gandiv. He said, well, I heard so much about this Gandiv. And Arjuna told the history of Gandiv. Originally, Gandiv was the bow of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva gave it to Indra. Then Indra gave it to moon god, Somdev. Somdev gave it to Varun. And Varun kept it for 100 years and then gave it to. Who did Varun give it to? Arjuna. Do you remember? No, I'm sorry, he gave it actually to Indra, to Agni. Do you remember how Arjuna got Gandiv? Who remembers? Yes. When? Yes?
At the time of the
Khandava forest. At the time of the Khandava, burning of the Khandava forest. Very good. Arjun told that he needed a bow, he needed a chariot, he needed weapons. So Agni then went to Varun and got them from Varun and gave them to Arjun. So, and Arjun had the bow for 65 years. So 65 years since the Khandava forest burning. And then Arjun got into the chariot while Uttar was driving it. They came, and in the meantime, they suspected that this is Arjun. Because apart from Arjun, no one would ever dare to confront such an army. From a distance they could see that somebody riding, jumping out of the chariot and running, and then he is greeting them. So seeing that, then Kripacharya decided to send Duryodhan back, because Duryodhan back to the palace, because Arjun's main aim will be Duryodhan, and Duryodhan will be in difficulty. So he divided the army into four. 1/4 he sent with Duryodhan to take him to the palace. 1/4 to protect the cows and take them to Hastinapur. And the half of the army would face with Arjun. So when Arjun saw that, so he realized that Duryodhan is now escaping. So he went and he told Uttar to take the other road to Hastinapur and drive that, not facing the army, that go that way. So when they were going that way, they could understand that Arjun suspected that Duryodhan escaped, therefore he is going to give him a chase. So then the entire army went with Duryodhan to meet with Duryodhan and confront with Arjun. So when Arjun came to that, confronted Duryodhan, Karna came to protect Duryodhan. And in that battle, Karna's brother died. Arjun killed Karna's brother. And then Karna also was so badly injured that he also escaped from the battlefield. So anyway, the point is, Arjun single-handedly dealt with the entire Kaurava army. And then finally, what Arjun did? Arjun released the Sanmohan mantra weapon, which you receive from Indra, that makes everyone fall asleep. So, as he released the weapon, everyone just fell asleep and became like statues. They just stood there. So when Uttar was bragging that he would go and defeat the Kauravas, his sister Uttara told that when you go there, bring all those nice silk and ornaments for me, and to decorate my toys. So when they all fell asleep, Uttar just went and took all their clothes and ornaments. But they were just standing there with their underwear on. And Arjun told Uttar not to go near Bhishma, because Bhishma knew how to counteract this. So, now when they were fighting, Duryodhan became very excited when he found out this is Arjun. So he was very excited that now we got him. But then Bhishma made the calculation and told them, to his utter dismay, Duryodhan's utter dismay, that 1 year just elapsed. Just the day before, It was the last day of the 1 year. And 1 year of exile and incognito. But Duryodhana and Karna kept on arguing. No. The thing, 1 year didn't elapse. But anyway, Bhishma just told them that according to my calculation, it's over last year. So then the cowherd people went to king with the news that Uttar has defeated the entire Kaurava. So Virat was very proud. See, my son has defeated the entire Kaurava army. But Yudhishthira Maharaj, Kanka kept on telling him, oh, that has been possible because Brihannala was with him. And king became very upset. He said that, you don't want to give credit to my son for defeating them, you're giving the credit to this eunuch? But Yudhishthira Maharaj kept on saying that yes, it is because of Brihannala that he was able to defeat. So at that time, King Virat became so upset that he took the dice. Dice is generally, it's a triangular long kind of a thing made of ivory. And he hit him on the head. And so Arjun, in the meantime, Brihannala came, but Yudhishthira Maharaj hid his thing, didn't allow, because Arjun had a vow that if anyone causes Yudhishthira Maharaj's blood to drop on the ground, he would kill him. So just to protect Virat, anyway, so Yudhishthira Maharaj tried to cover his thing. And Arjun came, then Uttar told the whole thing, what actually happened. The king was bragging that his son has defeated all the kings, the Kaurava, entire Kaurava army. But Uttar came and told actually it was Arjun who fought, and the king became very embarrassed. And then they got to know that this was the Pand, that these five brothers were there in their palace, and Brihannala is actually Arjun, Kanka is Yudhishthira Maharaj, and Ballav is Bhima. Granthik is Nakul, and Tantrapal is Sahadev, and Shailendri is Draupadi. At that time, Virat wanted to offer his kingdom to Yudhishthira Maharaj. He said, you take my kingdom. Already he was feeling very thankful to Ballav and Kanka for rescuing him, because he was already taken captive. But they rescued him, and now they got to know that these are actually the Pandavas that have been living in their palace for 1 year. Then, as an expression of his gratitude, he wanted to offer his daughter to Arjun, Uttara. But Arjun said that, no, I can't marry your daughter because I was a teacher. The teacher is like a father. A teacher is the father, so how can the father marry the daughter? Rather, I will accept your daughter as my daughter-in-law. And he decided to get Uttara married to Abhimanyu. So the news reached the Dwarka, And Abhimanyu came, the wedding took place in Vidarbha's palace, Vidarbha's kingdom, a grand celebration. And after in that wedding ceremony, all the allied kings, those kings who are in alliance with the Pandavas, like Drupad, Urishrava, and other kings came, Krishna. And so it was decided that now this period is over, that condition has been fulfilled, 12 years of exile and 1 year of incognito. Now they will have to give the kingdom back. So the messenger was sent, one brahmana was sent to Dhritarashtra saying, conveying that proposal, please give our kingdom back. And at that time Dhritarashtra said that in a few days we will send the reply to our messenger. These messengers are actually just the carrier of the message. They simply dictate, like a tape recorder, they simply say what they have been told to say. They were completely neutral. So few days back, whom did they send? They sent Sanjay, Dhritarashtra's secretary. He's a brahmana. So Sanjay went and with a proposal that he had been living in the forest for 12 years. So live the rest of your life in the forest. What's the point in coming back and claiming your kingdom? Because Duryodhana is not going to give it back. And it will automatically lead to a family feud. So you are so noble, you are so generous. So forget about your part of the kingdom and go back to the forest. And let the family be, family heritage be, remain intact. So that was the sum and substance of the message. But Krishna actually intervened. Krishna responded. He said that the Kshatriya's duty is to have his claim over his property. And Kshatriyas don't live in the forest. Kshatriyas live in their kingdom. And so if you don't give it back, then be prepared for a war. So Sanjay carried this message back. And at the same time, so when they asked, Sanjay also told about the prosperity, about the army, about that. So Duryodhana became afraid. So anyway, the preparations were being made. Bhishma told Duryodhana, give back their share of the kingdom and avoid this family feud. But Duryodhana, as usual, would not listen. Then both the parties, both the sides started to gather their strength. And who did they go to? Duryodhana and Arjun went to Krishna. Yes, in Dwarka. And Duryodhana arrived before Arjun did. And there was a seat near Krishna's head. So Duryodhana sat on that seat. When Krishna came, or when Arjun came, Krishna was still sleeping. So Arjun sat on the bed at Krishna's feet. So when Krishna woke up, he saw Arjun. He said, Arjun, when did you come? And at that time, Duryodhana jumped up. He said, I came before, you should respond to me first. But Krishna said, so, see, as I opened my eyes, I just saw him. So that's why. And Duryodhana said, no, you have to side with me, because I came first. Then Krishna said, look, I can see both of you came to me asking for my help for the imminent battle. So I have to satisfy both the parties. And the condition will be, there will be me who won't touch any weapon and fight the battle. Just I'll be inactive in that battle. I won't fight the battle. And on the other side, there will be my entire army. The choice is yours, whom you want. And since Arjun is younger, I'll give Arjun the choice to ask first. Arjun said, Krishna, I want you. And Duryodhana was happy that Krishna is not going to fight the battle, what's the use? Whereas his army, it's an army of 10 million. So he thought that he was the winner. Then Duryodhana went to Balaram and asked him to side with him. Balaram said, I won't fight, side with anyone. He said, I'll stay neutral, I won't side with anyone. Then he went to Kritavarma, and Kritavarma agreed to side with, although he was a Yadu, and naturally Krishna's ally, Krishna's relative, but Kritavarma actually decided to join the Kaurava side. So, and in the meantime, everyone tried to avoid this battle. Bhishma tried, Drona tried, Gandhari tried, then Vasudev tried. So all the senior members at that time tried to stop the battle. But Duryodhana wouldn't listen to anybody. He was completely adamant. Then finally Krishna decided to go. Pandavas told him that, look, don't go, because he will try to harm you. Krishna said, it's alright, because at least it's my duty to at least give them a chance, so that no one will ever say that I instigated that battle. It must go in record that we tried every possible means to avoid this battle. So Duryodhana got to know that Krishna was coming, so he made all kinds of wonderful arrangements to receive Krishna. The best palace was Dushasan's palace. So the arrangement was made that Krishna would stay in Dushasan's palace. All royal arrangements were naturally made. But when Krishna came and he had some initial exchange, and then when they invited him to stay there, Krishna said, no, I would rather stay with Vidura. And he rejected their proposal for prasad, their whatever prasad they had. Krishna refused to accept that. Duryodhana said, why are you refusing? You came and we are inviting you. Why are you refusing? Krishna said, look, I came as a messenger. And until my mission is accomplished, I'm not going to take your food. That's where I'm going to take it. So then Krishna went to Vidura's palace. Kunti was there. So Krishna had some exchange with Kunti. This time Kunti was very, very strong. She said, please tell my children that they should fight this battle and gain their kingdom back. All the advantage that they have taken all these years should not repeat again. Yudhishthira is very humble, very meek, very generous and very righteous. But one should not allow the enemies to take advantage of one's goodness. That is not just. Wicked enemies should be treated appropriately. So in this way Kunti was actually expressing her willingness that let this battle take place. So in the meantime, when Krishna went with a proposal, Krishna gave them a proposal, look, just give them 5 villages. Give them 5 villages and the Pandavas will be satisfied. Pandavas will be happy with that. The 5 brothers will have 5 villages. Because a Kshatriya has to have his own place. That's a Kshatriya. Kshatriya must rule. Kshatriya is a leader. Leader must have his follower. And a Kshatriya rules like that. If not a big kingdom, at least he has 5 villages to rule. So that was the bare minimum that a Kshatriya needs. So he said, just give them 5 villages and avoid this battle, avoid this family feud. But Duryodhana's response to that was that I won't give a piece of land the size of the tip of the needle without a war. Mainly because he was so convinced, he was so confident that he was going to win the battle. So the battle now became inevitable. But they hatched a conspiracy. Krishna was speaking very strongly about their favor and pointing out what would be the natural outcome of that war. And so Duryodhana, and he even proposed Vidura was proposing, and Krishna consented with that, that Yudhishthira Maharaj should banish Duryodhana and put him in prison along with Karna and Shakuni. Dhritarashtra should do, because he was the king. The king could do that. Arrest anybody and put him in prison. But Duryodhana angrily walked out of the assembly. But when he walked out, they hatched a plan that now that Krishna is alone, let's capture Krishna and let's put Krishna in prison. And if we can do that, then the Pandavas will become weak, because the Pandavas' real strength is so they made that plan. And they came with all their soldiers and they tried to arrest Krishna. At that time, Krishna showed his universal form. And everyone became afraid. And then Krishna just walked out of that place. Shatuki was there. Shatuki could suspect, he was suspecting, and he warned Krishna, Krishna, this is what they are going to do now. Krishna said, don't worry. And then when they surrounded him to arrest him, Krishna showed his universal form. In this way, now the battle is inevitable. Nothing could stop the battle. And Pandavas became ready with their allies, and Kauravas before the battle started, one day Duryodhan asked Bhishma how long it will take him to annihilate the Pandava side. Bhishma said that if he used his full strength and all his celestial weapon, it would take him 1 month. He asked Dronacharya, Dronacharya also said it would take him 1 month. He asked Kripacharya, Kripacharya said it would take him 2 months. He asked Ashwatthama, and Ashwatthama told it will take him 10 days. And then he asked Karna. Karna said it will take him 5 days. Bhishma laughed. He said, you can brag only until you have to confront the Pandavas. And he started to tell him, so many times you ran away from the battlefield. So many times you have been defeated by Arjuna. And now you are saying that you will annihilate the Pandava army in 5 days, defeat them in 5 days. So the spies took that message to... So at that time actually, Karna being insulted in this way by Bhishma, he started to insult Bhishma. And he took a vow that it is either Bhishma or him. If Bhishma is in the battlefield, he is not going to fight the battle. So Bhishma said, fine. Without you we can't deal with the situation. And at the same time, Bhishma made it clear also that the Pandavas are undefeatable. Dronacharya told that beforehand also. And he reminded also that, Dronacharya reminded that Dhrishtadyumna has been born to kill him. He appeared from the sacrificial fire to kill him. And so anyway, the spies carried the message to the Pandavas that the battle, that this is what they said. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj asked Arjuna, how long will it take you to annihilate the Kaurava army? Arjuna's reply was, with Krishna in my side, with Krishna with me, I can annihilate the three worlds in no time. So that is the absolute reality. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotee are there, then victory is inevitable. Krishna can do anything. That is what a devotee knows. Devotee's understanding is Krishna can do anything. It's not that He will annihilate the three worlds in a moment. But Krishna can make it happen through him. That is the devotee's understanding. So now the battle is inevitable and Pandavas are now getting ready, collecting their strength. So that the battle scene we will discuss tomorrow. Today we will end here. Any question? Yes?
I have three short questions.
Take the mic.
Sure. Thank you, Shri. First question is on the wrestling match at the palace. You mentioned it with the Brahmins. Is there a celebration of Brahmins?
Brahmotsav. A celebration, a glorify Brahma.
Was that because there is Brahma was cursed then?
Yeah, it was not a worship of Brahma, but it was like a fair, in a festival, not worship. Okay. Brahma was, Brahma didn't get any worship.
Okay. Second question. We've today followed the four regulative principles to protect against the irreligious principles, but in the Mahabharata times, they were, we heard about wine, we heard about gambling. So is this something just for Kshatriyas, or generally through the Vedic culture before?
Yeah. The Kshatriyas were allowed to indulge in these activities. Because you see, Raja Ragatmikam Vidhi Trishna Karma Samipam. The mode of passion increases the desire to enjoy the material nature. Therefore, Kshatriyas are allowed these activities. But in the age of Kali, there is no Kshatriya. Therefore, they are forbidden. Not for Sudras. If the Sudra has to eat meat, he has to go to the forest and kill the animal and eat it. Even the Kshatriyas. They wouldn't buy it from a supermarket. and at least they may eat meat, but never. I mean, one could even eat dog's meat, but not cow's meat. No, Balaram decided to go on a pilgrimage. He decided to go on and not to, you know, he saw both the sides are his family. So he decided not to take part with any of the sides, either of the sides, and go on a pilgrimage. So that's what Balaram. I don't remember that. Like my understanding is that Balaram decided on his own to go. And besides that, you know, like if the Brahmanas say that, that's another part of the pastime. But does Balaram have to listen to the Brahmanas? Or he can decide for himself? Anyway, these are the pastimes. Yes, Saraswati?
When Krishna consciousness will become more prevalent, do you foresee a revival of the Kshatriya caste, or how do you? Because nowadays the world is so full of very nasty kind of weapons, and it's very unvedic, let's say. Do you foresee that there can be a revival?
Has to. You see, say, just consider Prabhupada's statement that what he has done is the 50%. The other 50% is to establish Varnashram. Varnashram means Kshatriya's ruling. And Kshatriya's ruling means the government is, you know, they are Kshatriyas in power. Like democratic society is a hodgepodge. Democracy, as Prabhupada used to say, is demon crazy. And a simple common sense consideration is that mass is ignorant. Now can the ignorant mass wisely decide who is going to be their leader? Like when there is ignorant mass, like say in a primary school, Do the students have the right to select their teacher? And if that happens, what will happen to this education system?
Fall apart.
So that's what is happening in today's society. The ignorant mass is selecting their leader. And like the people, those who don't have any quality, those who don't have any qualification, those who don't have any expertise, those who don't have any knowledge, they are asked to do something that they don't know and they don't have the knowledge or experience or qualification. Sometimes we make a proposal or sometimes we just make a point. Will you fly the aircraft, the aeroplane, if the pilot has been elected, appointed by election? Will you risk flying that plane? Now, if you can't risk someone flying the plane who doesn't have the ability, so what to speak of ruling a nation which is million times more complex than flying an aeroplane? So democracy has to go and Krishna consciousness has to prevail. And Krishna consciousness will have two aspects. One is a social aspect, the other is a spiritual aspect. The social aspect of Krishna consciousness is Varnashram. Varnashram means Kshatriyas ruling. Brahmins are not interested in controlling or power or leadership. But Kshatriyas, they're interested and they're powerful. They're capable of doing that. They're trained to do that. So Varnashram has to prevail. That reminds me, the other day in Switzerland, I was sitting with some of the devotees, and I asked them, if you are given a chance to do anything you want, and you will be able to, you can do anything you want, and you have 7 days to make the world Krishna conscious, what will you do? Anyway, different devotees came up with different ideas. But my point was to take over all the governments of this world. Then what happens? When you take over the government can make the law. And everybody has to follow. And if one doesn't follow, put him in the prison. Right? And the government can make it a law that everybody has to chant 16 rounds. Everybody has to follow the 4 regulative principles. And if you don't want to, then you'll be given warning, you'll be given the opportunities to rectify. But if you don't, then you'll either be put into prison or thrown out into the forest. You can't live in a civilized world. That is how the Vedic culture was. If you want to eat meat and drink alcohol, then go to the forest, live in the forest. There you hunt the animals and eat them. No one will tell you. Even the Kshatriyas, when they had to eat meat, they had to go to the forest. So that means, you know, ruling is the controlling of power. The real power comes by ruling the kingdom. Now if the entire earth planet is ruled in this way by one government that wants to establish Krishna consciousness, can't you establish Krishna consciousness overnight? The basic government law. And if somebody doesn't want to, then he'll be put into prison. We can give one such example, just for the sake of example. The former Prime Minister of Singapore, League One War. He was actually the father of Singapore nation. And Singapore, when Singapore and Malaysia got divided, Singapore got their freedom, or it became an independent state. He became the prime minister. And at that time, Singapore was in a mess. It was full of gangsters, full of drug addicts, drug trafficking. What did he do when he came to power? He gave 7 days to surrender illegal weapons. And if somebody did not, he made it clear that they'll have death sentence. And those who did not surrender, he just crushed them. Drug addiction, if anyone is caught with drugs, he'll get death sentence. If one is caught with illegal ammunition, he'll get a life in prison. And go to Singapore and see the country today. So this is what the power, this is the power the government has. But the ruler has to be qualified. He has to rule with an, the ruler has to rule with an iron fist. Anyway. Yes?
What is the difference between piety and sukriti?
Piety and sukriti is the same thing. Sukriti means good action. Good action leads to piety. But generally, sukriti, the word sukriti is used in spiritual sense. Like in Sanskrit, there are two things, two expressions, punya and sukriti. Punya is generally piety. The result of piety is material. But the result of sukriti is spiritual. Yes.
I just have I have three questions, two from me and one from my point of view. Maharaj, you said before that Krishna showed his universal form to the audience when Duryodhana was trying to capture him. But how did Duryodhana see as Krishna only shows his universal form to pure devotees?
Yeah, but Krishna can show it to whoever he wants to. Only thing is that the pure devotees recognize him and impure individuals don't. You know, what was Duryodhana's reaction to that? Oh, he just showed some magical feat. Some magic he showed. Because if Duryodhana recognized that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Almighty Supreme Lord, then how could he not surrender? Another way of looking at it is, as I said, leelas are like dramas. The ultimate purpose must be accomplished. That was the objective. So Duryodhana had to fight. Battle of Kurukshetra had to happen. Duryodhana had to behave the way he did. Because the role is already cast. Fear is due to the weakness of heart. Shudram hridaya durbalam. When the heart becomes weak, we feel afraid, we feel nervous. But when the heart is strong, no fear. And when you have Krishna in your heart, no fear. Okay.
How can a devotee practice this Krishna consciousness if he or she has no physical devotee association, sadhu sangha?
How can one practice Krishna consciousness?
If he or she has no hasn't any physical devotee association, or Sadhu Sangha in their area. How can that?
Make devotees and have Sadhu Sangha. Preach. Make devotees. Like in the early days, devotees went, new devotees, American, young American boys and girls, they went to a new place. And what did they do? They preached. They made devotees. They established temples. In this way, they spread Krishna consciousness. The devotee must, he must preach. If you want association, create that association. If it is not there, create it. Okay. Yes, Nainabhiram?
Guru Maharaj, could you elaborate a little bit more on the 10 names of Arjuna?
There is no time for elaborating. We say he is showing the spiritual form to Arjuna.
Yeah.
What was Krishna's other forms? Their material?
No, my question is...
Krishna showed Vishwarupa before also. This is not the first time that he showed Vishwarupa. Krishna showed Vishwarupa to Kunti, Yashoda Mai first, when he was a little baby. In the battle, before the battle of Kurukshetra, he showed it to Duryodhana. And those who were assembled in court. Yeah, another hand went up there. Oh, Brenda.
How long does the sleeping weapon work?
How long does?
The sleeping weapon work?
Oh, I see. As long as the effect not withdrawn. Yes.
How could you use the battle that Arjuna
What's
fought,
that?
In the battle that Arjuna fought as Brihananda, he was faced with the Kauravani army and he defeated them and Bhishmadev was there as well. So why, like in the battle of Kurukshetra, was Arjuna so overwhelmed because he'd already faced the Kauravas?
He was not overwhelmed out of fear. He was overwhelmed with emotion. That he has to defeat. That time it was a consideration of killing them. This battle is that both the sides are going to fight till they conquer the other. That means, it's not just some sort of side encounter. This is a real encounter. Do or die. So that's why the consideration is that I have to kill them. Whereas at that time he didn't kill them. Yeah. Pure chanting is in pure goodness. Pure chanting is transcendental. What is?
Chanting is a pious activity.
No, that is just an English consideration, language. It is benefit is spiritual. In English there is no definite expressions like in Sanskrit. Punya, Sanskrit has two expressions, punya and sukriti. Like agyata sukriti. So punya is piety, which means the result is material, and sukriti is spiritual, that brings us closer to the spiritual sky. Yes, Ramananda.
It struck me at the beginning of our retreat that you mentioned that we have come together for the purpose of communicating, communication. And is it not that it is crucial for our movement that things are communicated, especially if we may go through difficult times? Like I was just thinking that, was it not that like in the beginning you went into a situation that we were already like, because we have the spiritual strength, we were already like ruling, but actually we didn't have the impact yet, and then that we have to go through a transition period, which you are describing. We're going to evolve, or at one point, Krishna consciousness will become established, but sometimes maybe too quick that the devotees assume we are already in that position, and then that we suffer because of that. I don't know if my point is good.
Not really.
I felt like in the beginning days when I was here, it was like very kingly Mahabharat like situation. You were like, it was not really in tune with the society of, and that I find that, you know, as I was born and all that, we are not really tuned in with life as we could be. And
okay, I got your point.
And
so
we may have suffered because of that.
But that beginning, I thought when you said beginning, I thought beginning of this retreat.
Well, at the beginning of the retreat, you said we are here to communicate things. And
yeah.
I find this very crucial. If we are communicated sharply about what's going on and how we can relate to each other, it, like you also mentioned that the Srinath Vishnu verse is actually, when it's really applied, it's on the Uttamadhikari platform. So then this transition, it's in this transition period
okay.
that we have the most difficulties. And I find if the communication is there and we hear the right things from the leaders, then that is very crucial for the devotees. And if it's not done, we go in all kind of difficulties and you may
say. So is it a question or a comment?
That's my question. Is it not like that? Or I would like to have your comment on it.
You see, the ISKCON movement is new. Therefore, it is going through different phases. And eventually, it will come to the perfected platform. Perfect platform. It will take time. It don't happen overnight. Like, anything takes time. And you have to give it the time and go through the process. Like when you make bread, right? Like you have to get the flour, you have to make the dough, you have to give it a shape, then you have to put it in the oven, then you have to cool it down. Then only it can be served on the plate. Like if we can't expect that in no time, just the flour will become bread. So the process is necessary. And ISKCON, not only ISKCON, you know, over a period of time it's happening. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, movement went through one phase. Then the movement became infested by the Sahajiyas and Mahaprabhu's teachings got lost. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur came. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur came, Prabhupada came, and then Prabhupada created ISKCON. Now ISKCON is moving in a certain way. So it's all a part of the process. Yeah, go ahead.
My question is, how can we most efficiently live in this and sometimes when we get lost in it?
Try your best to establish this movement all over the world. Not that everybody will try his best, but some people will try their best, and as a result of their sincere endeavor, things will happen. Just as one person, Srila Prabhupada, tried his best and see what happened. Now, of course, it's a matter of collective endeavor. we all have to collectively struggle, collectively strive. And in that collective endeavor also, some will be more successful, some will be less successful. Doesn't matter. Let's all become focused on our ultimate objective. Anyway, on your, my final comment will be, on your part, try your best. And you know, and this effort also has to be backed with two things: intelligence and expertise. An unintelligent, Prabhupada gave the example of the lazy intelligence, active intelligence, lazy fool, active fool. Right? Of these four, of these, the active fool is the worst. Because whatever he does. So better than active fool is a lazy fool. And then, lazy intelligence and active intelligence. If the intelligence is lazy, but that is not being applied, then that intelligence is not going to be effective. The real effectivity of the intelligent endeavor will come by proper application. So we have, therefore Prabhupada wanted us to become expert. Prabhupada wanted us to become intelligent. Yeah, he has the question. Point. You see, the Mahabhava, that highest bhava, spiritual emotion, can be experienced by the gopis also of Vrindavan. But generally, it is reserved for Srimati Radharani. That intense mood, loving mood in separation, is displayed by Radharani, and all at that time, all what the other gopis do, they assist her. So Mahabhav, if the Mahabhav is identified as the highest emotion, then the highest emotion is reserved for the topmost personality. Mahabhav is experienced by Radharani. Actually what I meant is, Radharani is the personification of that Mahabhava. You see, the embodiment of Mahabhava is Radharani. Mahabhava Sarupini Radha Thakurani. Yes, Radha Dharma. Take the mic.
Was asked how many days it would take him to overcome the Kauravas. He said, with Krishna's help, it can be in no time. But we know that when the Pandavas decided to leave this world by walking to the Himalaya all the way to death, each one fell according to one weakness. Like Rupani fell because although she was supposed to be equipoised with five husbands, she was favorable to Arjuna. Sadeva Nakula was part of his beauty. And Arjuna, was his weakness was that although he boasted himself that he could finish the Kauravas in one day, it never happened.
Where did you get that?
I mean, I've read it. How this five Pandavas.
I mean, who will ever question? Why is it boasting? With Krishna's help, I can annihilate the entire world. He didn't say that I'll win the battle. He said that I can annihilate the three worlds in no time. Can Krishna do that? Can Krishna do that? So why should it be boasting? He is not boasting on his thing. He is actually showing his confidence in Krishna's ability.
And what was his weakness then?
I don't know. You find out. Because you came up with it.
And Bhima, because, if I can say, for example, Bhima also was, his weakness that was that although he was a wonderful person, when he was eating, he forgot everybody. He was becoming selfish. So that was his weakness, everyone else.
And our understanding is this was Krishna's plan. Yes, these are all mundane calculations of Mahabharata, which is the Karmakanda aspect. Mahabharata, you have to understand, is devoid of pure devotion. Especially Vaishampayana's Mahabharata is not really touching pure devotion, it's Karmakanda aspect. So these are all Karmakanda considerations. Just like Yudhishthira Maharaj had to go to hell, because he told a lie. Where is the lie? Yudhishthira Maharaj didn't lie. Ashwatthama, the elephant, was killed and he said that Ashwatthama is killed. But this is just a mundane karmakandi consideration. Don't worry about that. Yes, Sanjay?
Okay, Maharaj. Yesterday you mentioned that Shakuni wanted to see the end. Wanted to destroy the
Kuru
dynasty. Could you just briefly explain why he wanted to destroy the
Kuru dynasty? Because he could not accept the arrangement that Gandhari, his sister, was married to a blind person. So that's why he held a grudge against that family. Okay. Okay.
Sorry, I just had two questions. The first one was, who is Shakuni in his previous life?
Shakuni is an incarnation of Dwapar Yuga. Duryodhana is an incarnation of Kali Yuga, Kali personified. And Shakuni is an incarnation of Dwapar personified. Shakuni is Dwapar personified.
And the other question was from the person from Marvel.
What should be the attitude of?
A person that has fallen from Krishna consciousness and then come back again. For example, they were chanting 16 rounds before in the beginning and then not chanting later. So what should be their attitude, as in how should they become determined?
Embrace the process again wholeheartedly. When you come back, you become more fixed. You should become more fixed. Not that come back half-heartedly. Come back wholeheartedly. Follow the four regulative principles. No compromise. Chant 16 rounds. Render service. Read Prabhupada's books. Associate with devotees. That's what ISKCON is meant for. So when you come back, we should do that. And we are very happy that you came back. When somebody comes back, we become very happy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Preeti?
My question is, Arjun, chose Krishna.
Arjun
chose Krishna personally to help with the battle. And then later on, like we just mentioned earlier, that Arjun says, with Krishna on my side, I can conquer the three worlds in no time. So is he saying that on the basis that he recognizes Krishna as the supreme person? If so, then from the actual Bhagavad Gita, when reading that, there is a point in there where when Arjun says to Krishna, and he's feeling lamenting that, oh, I treated you, you played together, we did this together, we slept in the same bed. It feels like he's then acknowledging his supremacy even further. So I'm just kind of wondering at which point or how much did he actually fully understand?
Good question. Very good question. The thing is, you see, we have to understand that Arjun is a pure devotee of Krishna. Arjun never forgot Krishna. He always knew that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But still, in that drama, he is playing the role of his cousin. So he's behaving like a cousin. And but at the same, and while he is having that conviction or understanding, he also has the understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But sometimes in their intimate relationships, he is not behaving like that, that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, when he is reminded about that, he is lamenting. Oh, why did I do that? Like, it's not that only at one point he realized that Krishna is God, and before that he didn't know. And especially, you know, he is playing the role. He saw the universal form. He saw Krishna's, and then, you know, he's lamenting. As if now he has become aware of Krishna's identity as God. There's one hand up here. Yes, Mohini Prem.
What position must a devotee keep if his country fight a war?
Master devotee?
What position a devotee must have if his country fight a war?
If his country is in war?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. You see, these wars are material, mundane. Therefore, devotees don't get involved in this war. Because the devotee doesn't have this, you know, nationalistic, patriotic feeling. He should see which one is, whether it's for Krishna or not. Right? Like Prabhupada said, like,
Nowadays
it's that so demons are fighting with the other demons. Your country, who are in your country? Bunch of demons.
I mean, where I live.
Where do you live? Chant Hare Krishna and Krishna will protect you. Don't worry. Not that because your country is in a war, so you have to fight. Then also, where will you live? Yes, Raghunath. And is that clear? Okay. Because you see, like, I mean, it will be. We have to see at that time what the situation is like and act accordingly. It's difficult to give a hypothetical answer at that time. You know, you can't just say, it's your country, you are there. We can't just say that I won't take part. Right? In some way, you have to take part. Because, you know, like, there is a war. And so many situations will arise. So you have to use your Krishna consciousness and common sense to deal with them. And the simple answer to that will be, don't worry about who is fighting who. Take the opportunity to chant Hare Krishna and make everybody chant Hare Krishna. That should be our attitude. Just like Prabhupada did. During the Second World War, the Japan was planning to bomb Calcutta, because Calcutta was the big British base. They didn't have anything against India, but India was a British colony. British had their army base in Calcutta, so they wanted to bomb Calcutta. And at that time, everybody was leaving the city. Everybody was running away, because the city is going to be bombed. You know what what Prabhupada did at that time? Prabhupada took the mridanga and kartal and asked everybody to chant Hare Krishna. And it is because of Prabhupada's chanting Hare Krishna that the Japanese planes went back without bombing. Okay, so I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. All glory is to Shri Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. So tomorrow, Ratha Yatra, so no class. So the final seminar will be on Sunday. Yeah, please.
Hare Krishna, really quickly. We've arranged some activities for the sort of youngster middle-aged group this afternoon. We're going at 1:45 and you're going to need 30 minutes. We're going to a local adventure park called Dubai Activities. We're going to be doing go-karting and laser quest, I believe this. So if you do want to come, we've asked a lot of people, but there's some people that we have missed out, I guess, in the audience. If you do want to come, please come see yourself at that. We should be back. We're aiming to leave at 1:45, so you need to be changed with trainers and whatever out in the car parks where the coaches will leave, and we'll be back.
Is there any age limit?
There's five minutes left to come. there isn't really any age limit. If anyone feels like they want to come, then please come along. It's just so it's arranged. Of course, if we can allow Maharaj to be first to remain seated, that would be great. Thank you very much, everyone.